Wasn't the worship lovely just now? Just now, as we were worshiping the Lord, I love that last song. Actually, that last song was a very powerful one that mentions on the awesomeness of God. And I felt so good. I felt every time I mentioned the word, the awesomeness of God, there was something that goes with that name. I can't describe verbally, vocabulary cannot be put in to describe the awesomeness. But I felt such a good song that many times we come to church, we don't realize how awesome that you and I have an awesome privilege to sit in the presence of an awesome God. Amen? Don't take for granted, friend. God is a good God. Never forget that. If you don't know, let me tell you this. He's so awesome that words cannot, you know, in the Old Testament, they can't even describe Yahweh because he's so good. Amen? God is good. This morning, I'm not here to joke, honestly. I won't joke. But I want to spend time sharing with you God's word over the time in Indonesia. This word came to me when I was in Indonesia sharing with some pastors and speaking. And somebody dropped this word, and this word found a place in my heart. And as it found, it started to grow, and I started to look at it, expand, and think about it. And I want to share with you this morning. Let's pray. Abba, Father, silence our hearts. Align our hearts, align our spirit, align our minds with yours this morning, Lord. Bring us under subjection of your presence, Lord. Take away distractions, distortions, Lord, that we may hear in all clarity, Lord, the voice of God. The voice, not in the wilderness, but a voice that is speaking directly and intentionally to each life, Lord, this morning. Your word is life. Your word is manna, Lord. Your word is hope. Your word is our destiny, Lord. This morning, bring that word into our lives, Lord, that we may respond in accordance to your word, Lord, that our lives may be a blessing, Lord, forever that we live and serve you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning, I wanted to talk about anchors of steadfastness. You know, this word steadfast is a very powerful word. There's a simpler term would be the enduring love. Steadfast brings about endurance. Can I put the meaning of... Okay, I looked up and I wanted to make sure that we had a good, clear definition. It says we could define steadfastness as having a firm loyalty or constant and unswerving dedication to something or someone. All right, it is fixed or unchanging and solidly established. So steadfastness is immovable, irrefutable, unchangeable, unalterable, and is completely and utterly dependable. Amen? Good. Then he said, that is the great definition for God as he said, I am the Lord that never change. You know, today it's a dying beatitude or attitude in our lives. There is no endurance in people's life. Just now we saw Kevin Kinchen. Man, can you see his endurance? With all odds against him, yet he smiles, he jokes, he enjoys life. The thing that keeps him going is not because he's a preacher or a pastor. The thing that keeps him going is his enduring trust and faith in God. Amen? Such a person. And I thought, thanks, Pastor Calvin, for bringing that up. That really helps me in bringing this across, that our God has an enduring love for you and I. You know, the English Bible never writes about his unconditional. It never said God has unconditional love. There is impliances to unconditional love. The Greek used the word agape. It's a love that never asks of anything in return. But the Bible never literally writes that God gives us unconditional love. But it talks this way. God gives us unfailing love. Unconditional love from a Greek context was this. Unconditioning love was a love of acceptance. He accepts us on no conditions. Isn't that true? Come just as you are. That's the whole premise of unconditioned. So he talks that God accepts us unconditionally. But as we are accepted and we live this life, God needs enduring love to see us through the days. Do you know, there's a whole psalm written about the steadfastness of the Lord. Psalms 136, only 26 verses. Let's go to it. Look at Psalms 136. It's a responsive psalm. It's a responsive psalm. One whole psalm written about the enduring steadfastness of the Lord. It starts, His faithful love endures forever. Meaning, you sin, you hurt Him, His love still endures. He gives you hope, gives you a check, second chance. That's why we give thanks to the Lord. The psalmist said, give thanks because His love endures. Then it says, His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. He's the Lord of Lords. It's a beautiful psalm. And I was reading that psalm. It brought a refreshing reminder that God has an undying love for me. Even though I go through troubles, I struggle, even though I hurt God, He still loves me. Wow, the steadfast love. You know, I'm sure Malcolm and Maxine, if I could use you as an example, I believe you're coming close to your 50th wedding anniversary. 52. Hallelujah. And if I could ask Malcolm and Maxine, I don't believe your Christian faith was the real cause. I think good, we had Christian faith in God. I think the endurance you have within your heart to tolerate one another's idiosyncrasies, to tolerate one another's shortcomings, to accept one another as you are, that endurance, coupled with our belief in God and our faith, helps us sail through the storms. Isn't that true? I wonder how I made 31 years. Why you laugh? 31 years is what? In my life, I didn't say anything. But you know, endurance, many of us, that's what Jesus said, you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do. You know why? You don't endure when trials come. You don't endure when I test you. And yet you have the audacity to call me Lord, Lord. You mock me. And the Bible says God does not like to be mocked, you know. He doesn't like to be mocked. And I feel today the Christian has lost this. We talk a lot. Look at the leaders that are falling. It's like a 10-pin bowling alley. Leaders who have known God for 20, 30 are falling by the roadside. Every whim and fancy that come, they buy, they grab, they stake it, and they fall. The enduring love of God is a love that is aligned and loyal to God. Amen? You know, I know some of us became a Christian. Maybe we were misled when we became a Christian. Somebody must have told you, when you change, your life will be lovely and beautiful. That's a very deceptive message. The day Paul became a Christian on the Damascus Road, God told Barnabas to tell him he will go through much suffering. He will suffer for me. He will suffer. Becoming a Christian isn't going into a comfort zone, friend. It's going into a battle zone. But the only difference is this battle, the Lord is going to fight for me. Hallelujah. Two, this battle is not fought to victory. It's fought from victory. Amen? We are victorious. God has given us everything. All He asks us is endure. Is that hard to endure? I left my kids. You know, bringing up kids, you need a lot of endurance. Hallelujah. Three kids from the same family. I thought they would all be so good like me, so smart like me, so yet three different kids bring out the three different things of life. And you endure to love them. You know, love requires endurance. If you're planning to get married, you know, in marriage counseling, I dislike when people say, I ask them, why are you marrying this person? Because I love. I said, you lie. You don't know what love is yet. Honestly, you don't marry because you love. That's a lie. Let me tell you, love operates on emotions. Some days I'm so lovely. My wife loves me. And some days I love her. Hallelujah. Right, Azaha, you see, he's laughing. He's enjoying it there. Look at him. But you know, love is not the main reason to get married. It's not, friend. It's not the main reason. You love everyone. I love everyone in church. Is that a good license to marry everyone? You don't marry because of love. You marry because you know beyond a shadow of doubt that the Lord has brought that person to be a real pain in your life. I mean, I tell you honestly, because marriage, listen, friend, honestly, marriage is not about marrying to get something into me. Marriage is about giving my life to that person. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to go through some pain, but it's okay. For you, it's okay. I love you guys. Hallelujah. But you know, I want to draw to your attention this morning that what God is looking in us is not piousness. God is not looking for pious people. He's looking for people who say, Lord, I have that endurance. Bring it on, Lord. It's you and I against that world. It's you and I against the circumstances. It's you and I against the storm. It's you and I, Lord, that will make it to that end. Endurance. You know, I was in Indonesia and I was really blessed. I went there and I went to a place called Bandung, which is a very nice part of Indonesia. And while I was there, somebody picked up my movements on Facebook. Eh? I always move about. I keep my wife. She knows where I'm going. The Lord knows where I'm going. Everybody knows where I'm going. And somebody picked up and he saw my name. And he called a pastor. He said, is this the person so-and-so? And he said, yes. He said, can I meet up with him? And we met up at a dining place. And he said, Pastor Miso, you were the one that led me. He was the first drug addict that I reached out in Bandung in 2002. He was the first street kid that I met. We had a lot of things. I elbowed him. I was quite rough on the street, huh? But I did it all in the love of God. And I brought him to the Lord. I led him, prayed for him, put him into the program. And at that time, as I was about to leave Bandung, he came running to me. He said, Pastor Miso, pray. My wife is carrying our first baby. And doctors have said this baby is not going to make it. And I said, why? And he gave me some medical terms. I just, yeah, you know, you act intelligent sometimes. Huh? And I said, and anyway, we prayed. And that day when we were having lunch, he brought his son, who is now 17 years old. He said, this is the baby that you prayed for. And he said, today, I'm a pastor, and I run 5 drug centers in Indonesia. And on top of it, all that together, they have 25 different centers. He said, would you come back and bring us an encouragement? And I thought, wow. For me, it was good, I preached. But for that person to live through all these years, enduring his drug addiction, his shortage of income, the churches didn't support their work, they endured. Today, they have grown into such a strong establishment. Because you know why? Someone was willing to endure. I don't know about you, but maybe you're still young in your Christian faith. Every day it gets harder being a Christian. Every day gets harder. Every change circumstance in your life makes it even harder. Things around, just as Sean was saying about Queensland, it makes it harder. But let me tell you, do not let the circumstance dictate your destiny. Amen? Do not let. But if you are grounded in the Word of God, let the Word of God take you through the storm. Amen? Because that's what God has called us. Into steadfastness, endurance. Let me show you a few verses that I would like to encourage you as I go on. In 1 Corinthians, therefore, listen, Paul writes, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Just be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, whatever you do, don't worry. Even if you don't see results today, keep working. Because God never promises this, that if you do the work, you get the fruits. No, He just called us to labor for Him. Amen? How many of you daily you work, you want daily income? He said, if you do daily income, I tell you, if they count the hours, some of you get half pay. Eh? Half of the day you're yakking. Half of the day you're smoking in the smoke hole. Half of the day you're in toilet doing all your businesses when you could have done at home. We skive a lot. We are skivers. Eh? Let me tell you, deep in us, we have the tenacity and the desire to always strive on certain work. Even in God's work, we strive. We strive on our Christian disciplines, our Bible study, our devotion, our tidings, our ministries. Paul says, don't. Just labor on. Keep laboring. Amen? Sometimes you don't see. I would have never seen this beautiful result if I have not gone to Indonesia. But God has called it. Paul says, Paul echoes this heart. And having a heart that endures in the work of God. Amen? You know, just now Sean was saying, 9 years, you guys have grown. You have grown. But somewhere, somebody with such tenacity endured. Every Sunday, you guys come and set up. Don't complain. Those of you who set up, if you complain, you already lost the reward. Don't complain. Don't ever complain. I did that for years with the church. I love coming early. I'm an early bird in church. Until my church leaders say, Pastor Bishop, please don't come early. I said, the only person can tell me not to come early is the Lord. You know, I like to go early, see things. Because you know why I do it? In Colossians 3:21, he said, in all that I do it as if unto the Lord. God is watching. Amen? God is watching me every day. Good on you, man. Keep doing. Good on you. People say no good. It's okay. He says, good on you. Keep going. Keep doing. Keep doing. Amen. I tell you honestly, if you guys labor diligently, the work will grow. All logic aside, the work must grow. Isn't that true? But if you don't, it's hard. Let's look at another verse. Corinthians 16, they say, be on guard. This one is for you guys, youngsters, especially young. Not that old people don't sin. Nah. Sin doesn't want to trouble us anymore. There are some sins that it doesn't trouble the old people. Some sins only go to young. Isn't that true? You think carefully, friend. That's... He says, stand firm in the faith. Be. I love these things about it. The characteristic, be courageous, be strong, stand firm. These are very powerful words. Be strong. Don't be a weakling. Don't be a coward. The kingdom of God is not for cowards. It's for courageous people. God is not asking you to go on the street and start beating. It's be courageous in your faith, in the faith of God. You know, I am really blessed. God gave me a seed of faith, only one seed. Can you see the miracle of one seed? If you one apple, if you plant one seed, how many apples you get? One apple? Nonsense. You plant that one seed and you nurture, that tree will bring out at least, they say on two harvests, a few thousand apples. And that few thousand apples, if you take the seeds and you plant, you got a few thousand more trees. See, just one. One seed. Just one seed. The very creation of humanity is by one seed. One seed. The faith of God. Faith God gives us. Amen? God gave you that. Be tenacious. Hold on to it. Don't exchange. Today, Christians are compromising. Today, Christians are trading off their salvation for the joy of temporal joy. Today, even churches are moving from tradition. Let me tell you, there's no traditional or conventional Christian. Amen? It's Christianity. Don't ever talk about traditional or conventional. No. Christianity is Christianity. Amen? There's no. Don't listen to the lie of the devil. Oh, you are traditional. We are conventional. Eh? But we're all Christians. I look through the Bible to see, is there such things? Old Christian and young Christian? No. Keep to the faith. God has given you that faith. Keep. Next one. This one is my good friend, James. You know him? If you don't know, let me introduce you to him. He's a very nice friend. He's got good teachings, and he writes good letters. He said, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Listen to what he said. If you want blessings, stay faithful in trial. He said, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. You know, I wish schooling life had no exams. I just go up to uni. Go to uni, play about, smoke about, right? Come out, get one big certificate. You completed uni. You are now certified an idiot. Go find a job. Your certification is idiocracy. Idiot, you're an idiot. I'm qualified idiot. The exams are trials in some ways. Amen? How many of you are going through uni still? Exams are a bit of a trial. You can't go out and play a fool. You got to stay home nighttime and study. But without that, you'll never know how strong you are. Without that, you'll never know how much you know. It's tough, friend. To wake up every morning is a tough thing. It's a trial. For me, waking up is not a problem. Huh? I love waking up. For me, going to bed is a problem. Huh? Serious. But you know, it's a trial in life. Maybe to come to church for some of you is a trial. Have to take a train, take a bus. Maybe you got to sacrifice your sleep. I don't know how. Some people define trials according to what they feel. There's no definition of really trial. Huh? For me, trial may be physical. Some people, a little emotional thing, and they're going through a whole war. But he says, blessed is the man. How many of you want to be blessed, friend? Really, how many of you want that blessing in God in your life? Then trials is a part of it, friend. I want to be blessed. I wouldn't want to exchange anything. I want the blessings of the Lord. I want to be blessed. My whole journey in life is I want to be blessed, friend. And that's why the enduring love of God is that gift that God has. It's only in God that He can endure all this. We love our wives, but sometimes when they hurt us, we get angry. How many of you have never got angry with your spouse? Please leave the room. We all do, friend. I get angry with my kids. Sometimes I get angry with my church members. I wish they were all like me, think so intelligently, so good, perform. You know, that's how, honestly, that's why we get upset with people is because they don't think like us. They don't do like us. They are not us. Can you imagine God imposed that standard on us? We're dead, man. We're dead meat. You're gone. But God has endured. He give you grace. Never mind. You're different. I still love you. That's why churches split up. Because we can't tolerate. Endurance is about tolerance. I can't tolerate people like that. You know, one day I went to church to speak. Can you? I walked in this church, brand new church. Nobody knows me, and I know nobody. And I walk into church and the lady greeting me at the door, before she even said, welcome, good morning, Pastor Miso. So this is what she said. I don't like the shirt you wear. And I look at the shirt. And what did I do wrong? And I asked her, is there a standard dressing in this church? She said, no, I don't like your shirt. I said, I didn't come here to, I'm not a model. I'm not showing off my shirt. I'm the pastor. I'm coming to preach, man. And so, knowing me, I'm also quite witty and sharp. I answered this way, if you don't like it, so be it. I thought it ended. Next thing, few days later, I get a call from the pastors and the elders. Say, Pastor Miso, you were kind of rude to our gatekeeper. Would you present yourself? I said, okay, I got no harm. And I went there and the lady made an accusation that you are so rude, you walk in church, you didn't greet. Suddenly the story turned. I didn't do any wrong. And so I apologized to her in the presence. She said, no, I want you to come to church on Sunday. On the pulpit, I want you to apologize. And I said, what in the world did I do? I didn't shoot no one. And so I came and I did. And what I said, and she, after the service, I went up. I purposely went there and I apologized publicly. Yeah? But you know, she failed to realize when I did that apology, 90% of the church turned against her. I'm a pastor. I didn't do any wrong. And I thought, Lord, why do I go through this? Then I looked through the time and I sat down and I talked to the pastor. I said, then the pastor told me, Pastor Miso, she's a real pain in our congregation. I said, you knew and you still asked me to go and do all this? He said, you know, we just endure her. And I thought, wow. They love her, you know, they really love her. In spite of being a pain in the anatomy or a pain in the organization, they still loved her. They loved her. But, you know, until today, she never got over. She always see me, she said, you are a very rude pastor. I said, it's okay. It's okay, I'll take it. I can't go back in time. And I'm not here to go through a court case. I just answered whatever. Because you told me, and the lady next to her heard it. I said, how can you tell the pastor? Told her this, and I heard, how can you say to the pastor? She said, I just don't like. You know what shirt I wore? A yellow shirt. So nowadays I don't wear yellow anymore. Don't want to offend. No, this one is not. This is multicolor. Next time, if you don't like a shirt, tell me outside. Say, Pastor, can you go and change? I'll go home and change. But you know, friend, these are little things that can shake you, can hurt you, can cause you to question your faith. These are Christians, leaders. Leaders telling me off. I didn't do no harm. Actually, every church I go, people always say, Pastor, you have a very nice spirit. I'm a very easygoing guy. But this lady, just that Sunday morning, didn't like the color of yellow. And yours truly had to. I asked God, did you purposely set this up? Honestly, why you ask me to wear yellow? But I don't know. But anyway, I want to tell you, friend, the little things. You know, this is what Solomon said. It's not the big things that bring us down. It's the little foxes that slowly bite into you and bite into you and eat into you and encroach into your life and bring you down. Watch the little things. Put a trap for these little things. Do not allow it to multiply, to ferment, and to because surely, as Numbers says, your sin will find you out. He will expose you. Stay steadfast. Stay good to the Lord. Amen. I want to share with you a few things. Next one. I want to give you why we need an enduring spirit. Taken from Acts chapter 20, verses 22 to 25. If you have the book, go to Acts chapter 20, 22 to 25. It's a beautiful portion. This is the story of Paul on his mission journeys. Acts chapter 20, 22 to 25. I'll read for you in English, and then you interpret in your own language, all right? And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. Paul says, the Spirit has gripped me and made it that I want to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lies ahead. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus Christ. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. And now I know that none of you whom I have preached the kingdom will ever see me again. I declare today that I have been faithful. If anyone suffers eternal death, it is not my fault. For I didn't shrink from declaring all that God wants me to. Paul is almost giving his last sermon. He's going to a place where the Spirit told him, jail and hardship. What if God told you, I want you to go to Vietnam, but I'm going to hurt you there. I'm going to send you to prison. Would you feel excited? Let's buy the ticket. Let's go now. Let's go. Or would you say, Pastor Kelvin, maybe we pray a bit more. I think I'm getting confusing signals. I don't know where should I go, should I not? Isn't it? But Paul, you know, Paul's life was always this way. From his salvation, God told him, you're going to suffer. And yet this man, knowingly, know that this may be the end, yet cannot but want to go. And I thought maybe for you and I, you know, in order to have that kind of endurance that Paul had, we need a sense of destiny. Do you know your destiny? Do you have a vision bigger than you? Do you have that fire in you to say, I know, come what may, God will take me there? Maybe we lost it, you know. We don't have goals. We go as the song said, Que sera, sera. What will be. Oh no. If you don't have a goal, you don't envision your life, then you're not moving forward. Paul had a sense of destiny. He knew that his life would one day be poured out like a drink. That he will refresh people, he will touch life, but his life will be the price he has to pay. Amen? Do you know that from the day we were called, actually we were called to die for Christ? Sometimes Christians think when I got saved, I'm going to live forever now. Huh? Hello? You're not going to live forever. You're going to die and then live forever. Amen? Without dying, there's no forever. Huh? Think about it. The Bible says in the twinkling of an eye, we are crossed over. Now some of you twinkling your eye already, eh? In the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to end the sermon. Hallelujah. In the twinkle of an eye, meaning life to life. Just say, life to life. No death. Life to life. The body is gone, but the life has crossed over to life. That's why at funerals, I never like to use this word, you lost your loved one. It's a very, I feel, it's not a healthy word to say. When you say someone is lost, means you don't know where he's gone. But I always say, thank God for the passing over or the moving on of your loved one from glory to glory. Destiny. Do you? Hey, church, let me tell you. Do you know your destiny? Who holds your destiny? Do you know we are running a marathon race? There's a line there. The only ones that reach it will be those that can endure the physical pain, the mental pain, the emotional pain, the psychological pain that you press on. That's why Paul uses this word, I press on. I press on. Every day, you have to press on a little bit of your faith. Amen? Just a little bit. Little every day. Just a little bit. Just take a little bit of a pressure, friend. You make one. It's just like kids, and every day. If you look at your kid every day, there's a change when they're growing up. And then suddenly when they come big, you can't see any change. They try to change you now. You see changes. That's why parents stay close to your kids, because you see the changes and treasure those changes. But Paul had a destiny. Do you know where's your destiny, friend? I tell you. Let me tell church, I tell you where your destiny is. Your destiny is in the will of God. Amen? That's my destiny. I'm destined to be in the will of God. That's all. And the will of God determines and directs my journey to it. Isn't that true? All I do is because that's my calling. Don't ever prescribe your own destiny. Oh, I'll be there. No, don't. As a Christian, you're sold out to Jesus. Amen? God called me, I'll go. It's hard, but God never promised me a bed of roses. It's difficult, but God said, the battle is mine. I'll fight it for you. It's sometimes overwhelming, but he says, I'm an awesome God. I can do more than you can think of. My ways and my thoughts are far, far above yours. Maybe we need a sense of destiny. Maybe your Christian life is wishy-washy because you haven't locked in your destiny. Maybe your faith is wishy-washy. You fall so easily when the wind... You know, yesterday there was massive winds. Man, I had to tie... My clothes were like donating to the neighbors. Huh? Honestly, you're flying. I said, hallelujah. Like Mary Poppins, they're all gone. Serious. I was trying to put the clothes and the dog is trying to run because the wind is pushing him. And I'm trying to tell him, stand with me. He said, you go fly. I want to go in. See, the dog. I said, it was so strong. And I thought, how many of you saw the wind? We didn't see the wind. But the force of that wind, wow. The force of the wind had a destiny to take you. The crisis that comes is a powerful force. The only thing that keeps you firm is the endurance in your heart. Let it blow. I got frightened. I thought, I said, the roof is going to go. I got to put an umbrella up there now. It's about 90. We had it because we are in the valley. You could see the guys were rebuilding houses and the plank from this house moves to that house. And that house moves, all moving. I was hoping they move this way into my yard. I keep and tie it inside. Eh? It was so strong. Just like the test of life. Will be strong. But remember, church, take courage. My God is bigger and stronger than any storm out there. My God is big and strong, just like me. Just like him. Hallelujah. Paul had a sense of, number two, looking at action, Paul had a sense of dedication. A lot of you love God, but you don't dedicate your life to God. You don't even dedicate your career. You don't dedicate your earning. You don't dedicate the very core of your life. You're wishy-washy on the fence. Have you dedicated? That's why next weekend we are going to do a house dedication. Some people say, Pastor Mitchell, the house dedicated? What for? I said, what for? You're going to live there. So what for? But Jesus, they say God doesn't live in the house. I said, good. But who lives in the house? You. If the house is a domain of the evil one, you live with him. You dance with him, you sleep with him, you live with him, he's going to torture your life. Dedication is to set things apart for God's presence. Amen? Have you dedicated your life? You know, friend, dedication is not a one-timer. It's a continuous thing. When you get your first job, you know, I heard some good testimony that someone who dedicated to give even your first income, to me, that's a powerful dedication. That, to me, is a Christian dedication. How many of us would do that? Even in our marriage vows, we dedicate yet we break. He said, if you make a vow, don't ever break it. The curse of God is on you. Make a vow. Dedicate your life. Dedicate your kids. Dedicate your career. Whatever you're giving, dedicate to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Paul had a very strong sense of that. He said, my life is worth nothing. How much is your life today? I had a good friend just a few days ago. We went to his funeral. A man who landed in Australia in 1970. And in the time he was here, he brought most of the Asian restaurants came through his hand. He's a restauranter. He's a master chef before they even thought about it. And he was a hardcore drinker, street fighter, thug. But 20 years ago, exactly 20 years ago, God touched his life. Imagine, he was 52 years old when God touched his life. He went to Bible school. He graduated with a degree. He put 3 solid years learning Mandarin that he became a pastor. 2 kidneys failure, diabetes. He went on for 20 years. God gave him an extension that he dedicated his life. The very restaurateurs he brought, he would evangelize. 20 years, he dedicated his life. People laugh at him because this guy, every word out of his mouth was out of Oxford colorful dictionary of vulgarities. You know, he touched so many people's lives. 20 solid years, and God gave him an extension. He went to Bible school, even limping, eyes fading. He went, he studied, and he preached right to his time. He went for a holiday on a cruise ship called the Peace. What a nice boat, eh? Peace. And as they were reaching Hawaii, he peacefully went back to the Lord. On the Pacific Ocean, which in Latin means Sea of Peace. And his last words to his wife in that cabin is, his grace is more than enough. And he closed his eyes and went. Peacefully smiling. 20 years. 50 years or 52 years he wasted. But the 20 years he put in made a powerful difference in all other people's life. What are you dedicated to, friend? Don't make a name in making wealth. It's okay, it won't last. Make a name that leaves a legacy. Legacy. People came to do on the Lord through this man. Paul had that. He said, my life is nothing. It's just going to be poured out. But I just do what God assigned. We all have an assignment every day. Eh? We don't like assignments in school. Eh? When I was in Bible school, the whole school never liked me. Eh? I don't know why. I'm such a nice guy. Most of the students didn't like me. You know why? Because when I get my assignment today, they said you got 2 weeks or 2 months. I'm a kiasu guy. Eh? I go home that same night. I'll sit down. And then tomorrow I'll pass to the teacher. And all the students used to get after, Pastor Miso, 2 weeks more. I said, no, for me it's tonight. I love any assignment I will do. I never wait because I always afraid I don't wake up tomorrow. Honestly, I do everyone. The lecturers loved me, but the school didn't like me, the student body. Sometimes they would hide my assignment to sabo me, you know. You know, I take assignments seriously. I don't know about you. When God gives me an assignment, I come from a military background, police. You respond, huh? What is the assignment God gave you for this church, for your life? You have an assignment. Do you know your assignment? Are you working on it? Or you tore and threw away that one and you wrote your own assignment? I want to be this. But God said, no, I want this, God. Some of us tell God what we want. It's okay. But remember, He has an assignment for you. Amen? Walk faithfully. Endure well. Number 3, Paul not only had that sense of daddy, this is where Christianity, I don't care what Queensland say about it. Huh? You and I have the right to declare that Jesus is Lord. The Bible says, how can they know except somebody bring the good news, right? How can they know? It's okay. The only thing they can do is they shut you down. But you know, friend, how many of you will declare your faith? You know, I tell you, people won't come to church because you sing well. Can I tell you that? With all due respect to the worship team. People won't come to the church because we dress up well. Nah. People will only come when they hear of the God you worship, when they hear of the testimonies, when they hear of the miracles, when they hear of the reality, when they begin to hear. That's why the Bible says, he who has a ear, let him hear. Go declare, friend. I know some of you feel it's a shame. No, it's okay. My favorite verse from the day I got saved till today is Romans 1:16. For I put in my Bible, for I, Peter Miso, am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For therein it lies the power unto salvation to those that would believe. Verse 15 says, for that reason I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's all. That's my ethos and that's my manifesto. Because God saved me and I received the blessing. I want somebody to receive it. Would you declare in your workplace? But the sad thing I heard is some people don't declare because their walk undermines their declaration. Some people say, walk your talk. Some of us talk, and then we walk. If people can't understand, where is this guy going? He says this, but he's going there. Because your walk and your talk is not aligned. And therefore, you unintentionally undermine the declaration of your own faith. Be mindful. That's why he said, have a sound mind. If you tell people something, make sure you do it. Or I heard somebody once tell me this. He said, Pastor Miso, there are some people who do it. Do what I say, don't do what I do. Have you heard this? It's very prevalent today in the churches. Do what I say, don't do what I do. Wow. What's happening then? But declare. You know, a few days ago, I was in a restaurant. I have a big mouth, you know. Actually, my mouth is really big. Sometimes my wife, my kids, the waiter come only first thing I ask, are you a Christian? Where are you from? These are the famous questions. If Asian, where do you come from? Cambodia. The girl said, Cambodia. Are you a Christian? No. Why? She said, I follow Buddhism. I said, why? Then she let me, how to go somewhere? Why? Dead end. Dead end. The lady, like dead end. How to answer this man now? Why so? And a lot of people tell me, be careful, Pastor Miso. So it's against. I said, no. Asking is not against. Imposing, legally, impose is against. If I insist. No, asking. Michael is there. Asking is no offense. I know where I stand. I'm safe. I don't stray away. I act brave, but actually I know where to stop. I ask. I nothing. If people don't talk, it's okay. But I ask. You know why I ask? If the person says, I never talk. One day I went to the restaurant and the waiter said, you want me to come to church? You pick me up. I put my hand, I shook him. On Saturday, I used to have an EV. I drove to his house. Huh? I said you're going? He said, I said, go and change, please. Go in the room. He changed. Go to church. Seriously, I drove him to. And then he asked the people, hey, this pastor drive people. I told him, I don't drive people, but you said this. If you want me to come, you drive me. I woke up. He got shocked, you know, because he was not prepared for church. And I stood at the door. I said, go inside, change. Please go and change. Change to a good shirt and pants. Come, let's go. But you know, friend, I tell you, how many of us declare? You know, don't ever say, oh, Pastor Miso, you got a special gift. You all have the same gift. What is that gift? The gift of faith, the gift of love of God, the gift of trust. Why don't you use? Paul had a sense. Paul would declare. He declared, he said, now then, you see what he said? Now I know that none of you whom I preach the kingdom will ever see me. He declared, finish. My line, I fought the good fight. You know, when Paul wrote that statement, I fought the good fight. Have you ever read that? Every funeral they say that. But you know, when Paul wrote this one, I fought a good fight. Have you read the Bible? He said, I fought a good fight. What is it telling us? What does it mean? Meaning this, there is good and bad fight, but I fought the good ones. So it brings to my mind, choose your battles. Paul said, I fought the good fight. When somebody put good, there's always bad. Therefore, Paul said, I choose my battles. I don't fight the bad ones. The bad ones, I let them go. I let them win. I fight the good ones. Maybe we should go back and discover. I sat down and I looked, what are the good fights God wants us to fight? When I look through, wow, there's so many good fights we should be involved. Instead, we go and get involved in the bad fights. Good fights. Fight for somebody's salvation. Fight for somebody's destiny. The Bible says, go snatch people before they go down to hell. Fight that fight. Don't go and fight who is smarter in the Bible. Don't go and fight about denomination. Forget all that. Fight the good fight. I'm a fighter. I love fighting. Honest to God, till today, I have that in me. I love not to harm. I don't fight to harm, but I fight to win. Nobody plays Scrabble with me in my church because I can't lose. They have to let me win now. Next, lastly, Paul had this. Maybe we need a sense of duty. Do you know that we have a duty to God? Do you know you have a duty to this church? Don't complain about this church if you're not fulfilling your duties. Don't ever complain. If you're doing, don't complain. You know, some of us leave jobs and we go. When we get to that job, we say, good. And then after 2 months, 3 months, suddenly negative things come out. No good. Then we have to look for another. We are never satisfied because we are never steadfast in what we want. We are very fluid. The other day, someone told me, Pastor Miso, I'm going to leave the church. I said, say again? He said, I'm leaving the church. I said, you're a real idiot. I said, sorry to tell you, but you're the biggest idiot I've ever met on planet Earth. And he said, why? I said, how can you leave the church? He said, I don't want to go to church. I said, you are the church. How can you leave you? You cannot leave the church. You are the church. Amen? I am the church. I said, you know what you can do? You can leave that congregation or you can leave that community, but you cannot leave the church. So what's your complaint? He said, oh, I don't feel a part. I said, why don't you feel a part? Nobody talked to me. I said, since when? He said, 6 months. I said, 6 months, how many people you talk to? None. I said, you know what's your problem? You didn't talk to anyone. You know why? We come to church to get, but we don't want to give. He said, but I don't know what to say. I said, you don't know what to say. What about them? They also don't know what to say. So two people don't know what to say. Somebody start and say something. Say, I'm an idiot. And then maybe everybody will come. No, no, you're not an idiot. You're a child of God. Seriously, I told him. I said, maybe you go and tell them, hey, I'm an idiot. They will, then I said, people will say, no, no, you're a child of God. Let us pray. I said, there's something to talk. Silly, you complain. The church, please, guys, do not back the church of God. Never do that. It's always us, and we like to blame him. And he said, Pastor Miso, you also never visited me when you were there. I said, I never visited you. Did you give me your address? Do I have your phone number? Do you have your email? No. I said, why? He said, I don't know. I said, good. I also don't know. If we, you know, honestly, people back out there. And I'm a person who, I'm a champion. I will champion the church. Huh? Because the church is you and I. We're all going to stand in heaven. When we gather on Sunday, we gather as a community, Acts chapter 2. We gather as a community to celebrate Jesus Christ. We are the church coming together in a holistic way that we can celebrate. Just how we sang songs of God. The organization is a needed thing to bring us in line. But you don't leave a church. Like, I leave a law firm, but I don't leave law. Law is me. Unless I personally renounce my faith, then I leave the church. But don't leave the church, friend. God loves you. Have a sense of duty. We all got a duty, amen? You know, I came this morning and Uncle Ken made a nice copy black for me. And I was so blessed. I said, wow, Uncle Ken is so much older to me. And he asked me, Pastor Mitchell, do you like a coffee? And about four times I have to tell him, coffee, black, no sugar. Okay, he asked me, coffee. I said, four times, no black, no sugar, no milk. But he made for me. And I thought, wow, he doesn't have to do it. He doesn't have to do. You know, friend, don't do because you have to do. Do because you want to do. I tell you, you impact somebody's life for you. You just impact somebody's life. Thank you, Uncle Ken. Thank you for the coffee. It was so good. I finished the cup before 5 minutes. But do you have a duty for God? God has a duty. You know what is my duty? Is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your everything within me. Love him. That's the mandate for me. You know what is the mission for me? That I may proclaim and declare the gospel to the rest of the world. That's my duty, friend. That's my sole duty. I'm not doing the pastoral duty. No, that is secondary. The sole duty is to love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, everything within you. Cry out, I love you, Lord. And we will grow as a church, friend. We will grow. You know, the community cannot grow if you don't grow. But as you grow, you go enlarge, expand, you bring people, the community grow. You're the church. Amen? Take note, I'm a church. I'm so proud to be the church of God. Jesus said, can you imagine Peter was Simon. Simon was known as a what? If you look at the word Simon, Simon has got nothing to do with a strong personality. He was like a withering reed. And then Jesus changed his name to Peter upon this rock. Now Peter became a rock and built a church on him. God has got you as the rock, amen? Wherever you go, your workplace, be the church, friend. Stay steadfast. When there is trial, I like the prayer of St. Francis Assisi, bring hope, bring grace. Don't be a part of the riot in the office. Be one that is out, amen? Don't peddle gossips. Don't, man, you're the church. Be steadfast. You know, somebody said, Christians today have lost the influence and the impact in the world for one reason. Not because the gospel has lost anything, but the Christian has lost tenacity in his or her own belief in God. How many of you like reading? You like reading? Let me recommend you one of the top books to go and get from Kurong, but it's out of stock. It's called Renovating the Heart. Dallas Willard is the writer. I was there Saturday. They didn't have a book, but I was reading the preview. Dallas Willard wrote this book, Renovating the Heart. It's about creating spiritual transformation in your life. He said the reason we act this way is because inside is not renovated. How, you know, some of us, 5 years we renovate the house. My 20 years I haven't renovated. You know, some, my church members, formerly, every few years they renovate. And I thought, we make our house look beautiful, but our heart is callous. Maybe the renovating of the heart. Go and read that book. It's a beautiful book. Dallas Willard is a fantastic writer. And this book currently is being used by MST to teach spiritual formation. Saturday I was there. Sometimes when I got nothing to do, which very few days I have nothing to do, I'll sit at Kurong. The owner is my good friend. I'll just go through the books. But this is a good book for all you young people. Go buy this book. Buy this book. Read this book. It's about disciplining your life from inside out. Go read this book. It will help you. But in closing, I want to tell you this beautiful story. Dr. Jerry Vines wrote this and I picked it up from the internet. This Jerry Vines is a preacher and pastor. One day he was standing in a line and he was going to buy flowers for his wife. How many of us buy flowers? You know, I tell you an honest secret which don't go and tell anyone. When I was courting my wife, I passed the neighbors. I took the flower and I just plucked from there and I gave her. I'm a con artist, you know. I took somebody's flower. And then I told her my mother bought all kinds of stories. Those are the days when I used to do all this. And then anyway, he was standing with this girl in line. And then something in his heart asked him, talk to her. And he dare not talk to the girl. And so he let it go. He bought the flowers. He went home. But while he went home, there was something lingering in him that you should have talked to her. You should have engaged in conversation. You should have picked up. Anyway, Jerry said, I'm not a person to speak to people on the street like that. And he went back. 2 weeks later, Jerry visited the same flower shop. And now he see the girl working there. And the moment the girl saw him, she said, I remember you. And then she, she said, no, I've got some material to show you. I want you to, she was preaching Munism. You know, Munis? And then she was giving him material. She said, 2 weeks ago, somebody shared to me about this. And I become a Muni. And Jerry Vines took that paper, he walked away to the corner, and he wept before God. You know why? That life had crossed over there. He was placed in that line. He was put there that day. And he didn't take the opportunity. You sit down, friend. You sit down. And you close your eyes and you look in the past. How many opportunities you missed. Because you were not steadfast in your love. How many opportunities. You know, I thank God. People call me Pastor Miso Youth. But I will never, my wife, no. I'll never miss an opportunity. Though my name is Miss O, people always say Miss Opportunity. I will talk to anyone. Color doesn't matter. Creed doesn't matter. I don't care. You know why? I cannot sleep at night. If I heard that is what I did, that guilt will always be in me. Church, this is a week ahead for you. You're preparing for celebration. 9 years. God has been so faithful. Is there someone on your heart, on your mind? Someone on your list of prayer or someone in the list of your heart that should know. Just make an invite. God never asked us to save anyone. I can't save myself, friend. But God told me, share. Is it hard to share? You got invite? Go. You know, when I was doing with my wife the drug ministry, I go out on the street. My little Leroy, now Leroy, Leroy was the young, my only kid that time, right? And he would run on the street giving tracts. Whenever he saw people with tattoos, he ran back to me. Daddy, come. He pulled my pants. Daddy, I said, why? This one is for you. I said, why? He got a lot of pictures. So I said, what pictures? Tattoos. That's how my kid, because we used to go every Saturday, I go out tracting. I love tracting. He would grab my pen. Daddy, did. And I'm talking to him. He said, no, no, forget this one. This one is for you. Because he saw people with tattoo and he said, Daddy, all this with the picture is yours. Suddenly, it turned out everybody on the street got pictures, so all was mine. And my kid used to love going out. Because we love tracting, you know. But today, the church is no more advancing, it's retreating. We institutionalize our life. We isolate. And we lost the cutting edge. Maybe the next generation needs to be out there. For every generation we lose two. Maybe you guys are young. I'm not saying I pass, but you got so many young friends out there. My friends are slowly leaving. Eh? My friend list is getting shorter and shorter. I told him, I said, hey, it's getting shorter, no, the list. Where everybody's gone, they're gone before me. But maybe you got a life ahead of you. Would you talk to someone? And God gave you that love. The love is to endure. Even though they are in sin, you love them. Amen? You don't love their sin, but you love them. In closing, I want to share with you a testimony that really touched my heart, really brought this home to me. Was many years ago, I met a couple. They were girls, two girls in love. Eh? At that time, it was something not new to us. I mean, girl love girl. I don't know. I love my mother, but these two girls love one another, and they came to me and said, Pastor Miso, can I come to your church? And I said, oh, Jesus. What to do? If I say yes, what if they bring all the other girls that they are together? We'll have a whole girl party up there. And I got a lot of guys who are not married. And I said, okay, let me think. But I didn't want to go without giving her an answer. And I said, okay, give it a try. I said, come on Saturday, we have service. And they walked to church. They really came, holding hands. Huh? And I said, oh, Jesus. And after service, some of my leaders said, Pastor Miso, what are you going to do? I said, what do you want me to do? Don't you know, they said, Pastor Miso, it will influence others. It may attract other girls to them. And I thought, what can I do? I can't chase them out of church. I invited them. So I went back and I prayed to God and said, God, what do you want me to do? And this word came, love them as I love you. And I said, but I'm a clean guy, Lord. Yeah, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, but I'm a clean guy. I'm not involved with another guy, Lord. He said, just love them as I love you. And I said, but God is going to hurt the other members. He said, love them as I love you. No, when God says three times, don't ask anymore. Because the next thing you get two tight slaps with them. Huh? And so I didn't. And I went to church and I talked to my leaders and I said, they said, well, Pastor, so they're connecting with other people. They're going to life group. And I thought, what can I do? So I prayed and I sat down with the leaders and I said, anyone, I played the Jesus trick on them. Huh? You know, you remember Jesus when the lady was caught in adultery, he drew the line. And so I said, if any of you feel it's upon your heart to judge them, you tell them to go out of church. Oh, I felt so good, you know. So, oh, really, honestly, I went there, I went to the corner, I said, you are smart, Peter. You are really. Because I cannot, as a pastor, in my heart, I don't want to chase them away. And so my leaders had a talk and all that. But you know, while we were going through it, in 6 months, you know, in every girl relationship, there's one dominant figure. The dominant one decided to give up this kind of relationship. And she came to me and said, Pastor, I walked away from all this. And I thought, walk away from what? She said, I'm walking away. I said, no, come to church. You know, my mind was, don't walk away from church. She said, I'm giving up. I said, why do you give up the church? She said, no, I'm giving up this lifestyle. She said, I found true love in this church. And she said, I found Jesus. And I said, tell me what is true love. How do you discover true love? What is true love? I said, I myself am looking for true love. She said, for once, someone loved me in spite of my way of life. And I said, wow, that's really profound. You know, I looked at her, I said, wow. Because I used to sit with her and drink coffee at my church. There was so much of talk. Pastor Miso also gone in. You know, people love to gossip. loved. Yes, sir. And I will sit in the center of the food court. I find the center table. I sit down with her. And yet people talk. Pastor Minso, I deliberately want them to see, yet they still gossip. But this girl came and said, I found. And I said, what about the other person? She said, well, I decided to break it. Wow. You know, when people decide, I said, come, I'll pray for you. I pray. The other girl turned and became one of my worst nightmare. She went around and did a lot of things about my name. But this one got saved. And today, after many years, I went to a church and I saw her there. And she's married to a good guy. And I told the guy, do you know her past? Right in front of her. I said, do you know? He said, she shared with me everything. And I love her. And I thought, friend, the love of God is an enduring, unfailing love. You and I cannot, but God can. But you know something? We can bring that love to the world. Be steadfast. Be steadfast in what God has called you. Be steadfast in your faith. Be steadfast in the work. Paul said, be steadfast in your work. Whatever trial comes, stay firm. As a church, we pray. I believe just now we had a good prayer for those who are sick. Wonderful. But as a church, remain steadfast. Because there's a day and a season coming that enough is enough. The church of God will rise up. Amen? With all the... Let me tell you, in my heart is a bubbling that God says, enough is enough. And now I will unleash and release the power of the kingdom that you in your eyes will see the God you worship. Amen? Let's pray. Hallelujah.